This is Sunday, June 12, 1977. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is Marsha Brugman, and today I'm interviewing Mr. Frank Hobbick at his home at 10209 National Turnpike. This interview is a part of our project on the Parkland area of Louisville. We're visiting with residents of the Parkland area. We're finding out what the area used to be like, what it's like today. We're interviewing people who live in the Parkland area or who work in the Parkland area. Mr. Hobbick is a beat policeman in the Parkland area, and I think that you're one of the few beat patrolmen left in the entire city of Louisville, aren't you?
Right.
Right? Are you the only one left now?
The only neighborhood walking man. Mm.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of biographical history to start out with, you know, where you were born, where you grew up?
I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, raised in an orphan's home. St. Joseph's orphan's home.
Oh.
And I left the orphanage. I went to the seminary, stayed there for 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and come out.
What year were you born?
1919.
Mm-hmm. And what did you decide to do when you came out of the seminary?
Well, I wasn't sure. I wasn't satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the factory, went to Philip Morris, wasn't it? Philip Morris worked there, and then I decided what I wanted was be a policeman.
Oh, so now what year did you join the police force?
1951.
Oh. And you are a city policeman?
Right, in March of 51.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you first joined the police force? Did you have a particular beat? Did you drive around in a car?
Yeah, I went to the 3rd District.
Mm-hmm. And what area of town is that?
At South End.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you stay in the South End then?
14 years.
Mm-hmm. Then what year did you come into the Parkland area?
I came in Parkland in 1967.
Mm-hmm. And what was the whole idea in you coming to Parkland? Were you coming to be a walking
right.
policeman at that time?
Right.
Were there very many in the city walking patrol?
At that time, the only walking areas was downtown.
Mm-hmm.
There never had been a walking area in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. How'd they decide to do it?
Well, Parkland, when the city annexed Parkland, see, Parkland was a township of its own,
mm-hmm.
and the city of Louisville annexed Parkland, and they stipulated to be a walking man.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get selected for the job? Do you have any idea?
Well, I guess they go through the papers, and mm-hmm. anyway, all I know is they come and ask me that mm-hmm. I would be walking the beat there.
Mm-hmm. What can you remember what you thought at the time? Were you interested in trying it?
Well, I was interested, and at the time I thought it was too big a job for one man, mm-hmm. for, you know, mm-hmm. never walked a beat before,
mm-hmm.
but I've always wanted to walk.
What blocks did it cover at that time? Is it any different than what you cover now?
No, it's the same.
What blocks is
it? You cover from Virginia to Dumanil, that's mm-hmm. the 1200 block, and then from Catawba down to Olive, that's 2700 block mm-hmm. of Dumanil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Parkland Elementary
mm-hmm.
and the library.
And you just walk the rounds all day long then?
Walk okay. and talk.
Yeah, walk and talk. Did you do that the same route then from the very beginning as you do today?
Right.
Okay, 6 days a week or 5 days a week?
Then it was 6 days. We were on a 6 day mm-hmm. week then.
And you're down to five days now?
Five days.
That's a treat. Was the Parkland area at that particular time, especially the immediate area that you walked, was that a predominantly black area when you...
No, when I first came down, it was the shopping center was white,
mm-hmm.
I'd say almost 99% at his ownership
mm-hmm.
was white.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now it's just about 99% black now.
Mm-hmm. What about the houses immediately around the shopping area, the ownership of those, or people who occupied the
they
houses?
They were mostly white.
Mm-hmm. And that was what year, 1960?
67.
67, okay. So, and now has it almost taken a complete reverse
right.
then, in
right.
terms of housing as well as shop ownership?
Right.
Okay. What else can you remember about the area when you came in 1967?
Oh, it was like a town of its own. The businesses were flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
There's Thursday,
nice
Friday.
Nice businesses.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I had to get out in direct traffic. The traffic was so heavy. Mm-hmm. It's just like a downtown area.
Mm, that's so hard to imagine after seeing it now. What was it? Variety dime stores, A&P?
Right, you had two big supermarkets, A&P, and you had Shookman's Meat Market, Tony's Meat Market, mm-hmm. and you had Hardware, 5 and 10, two big clothing stores, a pawn shop, two shoe shops, three cleaners, Swiss cleaners and pastel cleaners, mm-hmm. and a beauty shop, jewelry store, drug store, had the bank.
Oh, there was a bank branch there too?
Yeah, had a bank of Louisville.
Oh, that is just phenomenal, thinking what it is today. Now, in comparison, of course, I've seen it and I've been there, and you're there every day. What's left there now in that immediate little shopping area there, 28th and Duke?
Well, you still have the have a Gateway Market now. We just opened. Mm-hmm. Then you have the hardware stores, laundromat, and we still have one cleaner, mm-hmm. and the barber shop.
The jewelry store is gone though, right?
The jewelry store is gone.
Is the bank there anymore?
No, the bank's gone. The pawn shop's gone. Both dry goods stores are gone. Mm. What is it? Most
meat market? The meat market isn't there anymore.
They still have Tony's Meat Market, yeah.
But has the outside appearance of the stores and everything changed?
It's changed altogether.
Disintegrating as well? Mm-hmm. Hmm. What else do you remember about the Parkland area and its residents in 67? Were there any special things about your beat that you liked or disliked at that time?
No, my likes and dislikes hadn't changed. Mm-hmm. Andy, they're the same.
Mm-hmm. What are your likes and dislikes?
Well, I was contented to just be able to walk and talk and mm-hmm. be able to assist and help anybody that wanted assistance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What were some of your dislikes in terms of, was there anything in terms of the job at all? Or?
No, I didn't. There was nothing I disliked, mm-hmm. no. Because mm-hmm. I fit in anywhere I go. That's obvious.
That's obvious. What kind of things do you think have happened in terms of this last 10 years to the area, because when you were describing what it was like in 67 with the wonderful access to shopping and that it was so busy, and what do you think happened? Was it white flight? Did people get scared of operating businesses? Were they getting robbed or what?
Well, it wasn't so much of that. It was intimidation. When the shoppers would come in, see, right after the riot, they so many, I don't know what the term would be that you would call it. There was fear mm-hmm. when the customers would come in, and there was so much strong arm tactics, and it just got to them, you know.
Was there a militant, was it a black right. group? Was it a militant right. young black group? Because I've heard at the library some of the old people talking about some of the kids.
I can't think of the word that covers it. It's the, I use it every day.
People just got fed up with trying to operate in
those
conditions.
No, what in the heck do you call it? See, they would want so much a month not to bother.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's where you pay for protection from bullies and this kind of thing, where you pay to not have your business bothered.
Right.
Were they actually bothering the businesses? Actually
well,
doing it?
No, it was the hassle. Mm. You know, like when they would look like the pawn shop now, when they would come in and look at things, they would act like they were going to put it in their pocket, and the guy would come and say, "What's the matter with you?" You know.
Mm. And people got tired of having to put up with
it. Different things like that would just be a hassle, mm-hmm. continuous hassle. Mm-hmm. Or they go sometimes into the grocery, the private grocery, not the A&P, but the other one, mm-hmm. and drop things, break them. What'd that do?
Oh, that's a shame.
See? Yeah. There's different things like that, mm-hmm. and it was just continuous, and they just couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm. Were they people who had, were long established families who'd lived in Parkland?
No.
Were they people, transit people moving in?
Coming out of the area that would come in. And see, it would needle me too, because I would have to follow, but I couldn't keep track of all the different groups. Some I could talk to them and tell them to leave, you know, go on. But then by the time I got down to this end, there'd be another group down there.
So a lot of it was not residents in the immediately surrounding
none,
area?
None of this was in the area. No, it was all outsiders. But any time outsiders would come in, I would know and I would start following.
I really had never been able to get anybody to
but
say
but the riot itself wasn't the main factor making them move. That wasn't the big, it was the after. What in the heck do you call it?
I've seen it on television shows and everything, and I know exactly what you're talking about, but
coercion.
I can't. Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about, because I know a lot of times in big cities they get that type of thing going,
but
where they just
they
literally scare the shop owners out.
Over in the Big A they were doing it for a while. And they brought it out in the open. Of course, most of them denied the thing.
Well, I know you get so many rumors in other parts of town, and I'd heard so much about the Parkland area, and so many people on the outside said that as a result of the riots and everything, and lower class people moving into the area, that it ruined the shopping center, it ruined the climate of the community and everything, and that it was something to really be fearful of to go there. And it's been kind of surprising the last week or so that I've been there that I'm not getting that kind of feeling. There is a tough element in any part of town you live in, but there's a lot of old standing people in that those neighborhoods who are suffering as well.
Yeah.
Especially that 2800 block of Virginia Avenue. I met some of the old people over there, and they talk of how difficult it is now for them to get to shopping now that a lot of the good shops are gone. They said there's a real problem with break-ins and this kind of thing.
Yeah, and I see this is another thing that some of the merchants have moved out on now, because they feel like they wasn't getting enough protection from the police, you know, overnight. But myself personally, I don't know why the police never could find a break-in, because in each shopping area on the east side and the west side, you have a parking lot where you can drive clean around. And there's nothing you can
see. So there was no hidden area that they could get.
You could see everything. And yet I'd come down in the morning and here I'd find a break in here and a break in there, and I'd wonder why they didn't find it before I come on, or before they went off too. And that was discouraging to them.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And it was continued not only once, several times.
Are there a lot of break ins in private homes there too?
Yeah, if the people leave.
Of course, I know that, you know, that's happened in just about every area of town now.
People won't tell on each other. They won't point. And I try to talk every group I get. I talk and tell them when they come down the shop, come in groups. Call your neighbor. Come on deck. A lot of them don't have transportation. I say, call your neighbor, 3, 4, 5 of you walk down. And then you can walk back and you're safer, you know, in pairs than you are with coming down.
Is there a lot of purse snatching and bothering the elderly as well?
In the far areas coming down, in the immediate area, no. No, we're real fortunate in the immediate shopping area.
Yeah. I was talking to one gentleman this last week who lived in the, well, has lived since the early 50s in the 2800 block of Virginia Avenue. And he was talking like you have been about the nice shopping facilities, the attractive shops, even hardware shops where you could get anything and everything. He said that for years they never had to venture into other ends of town or anything, because everything they needed was right there. And how hard they're an elderly couple now, and he was talking about his neighbors around him and everything too, how difficult that had been, because they couldn't get out. He has bad eyesight, he can't drive, so they're just really confined, and it's very hard to get to the nicer shopping areas and things like that.
So see, after the riots now, you know, most of the people lost their insurance or their premium were raised, and some of them raised so high they couldn't carry it.
In the
shopping areas and the homeowners. All of them have been raised now. Most of the homes down there had no insurance.
Were the riots really that bad, or was it that the insurance companies were fearful that it would happen
again?
It
would happen again, yeah.
And so everybody in the surrounding area was penalized
right.
for it.
Right. And this is almost the whole West End now. Not just in that area, all of it. You talk to any of the owners and ask them about their insurance. And how much it'll cover, how much extended. I mean, now maybe for a fire or windstorms, their insurance is great. But for anything else, break-ins or anything, half of them can't get it unless they pay that premium.
And you're talking in terms of people who have limited incomes, who
right.
are paying tremendous gas and electric
right.
bills and everything else, and then those premium payments? Yeah, I had no
right.
idea that it was that high. I know since I've been in the area, lots of people have referred to when the riots were there and everything, and I didn't live in Louisville then. I
and
had no idea whether it was
most
even
of your,
that bad.
Yeah, most of your small businesses don't have insurance at all. So if they're broke into, they're finished.
Well, no wonder they can't keep shops.
And that's why a lot of them in our area, they'd have one or two break-ins, and that was all of it. Now, Johnson's Clothing, he had a beautiful business down there, beautiful clothes, and done a heck of a business. And they broke in once, and he could sustain that loss. Then the next loss, they had a big dance down at the labor tent, not the labor, but the Masonic temple. And the kid hooked up chains in the car to the front end of the bars, you know, and pulled the bars out and broke the glass, went in and stole, I forgot how many thousands of dollars worth of clothes, beautiful clothes. And then tore up all his showcases, broke all the glass in them. And I reckon his loss then was about $12,000-$13,000.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about somebody who can't afford to get insurance anymore, I can see where something like that would wipe them out.
Now he had, that was all of them. He had to go fold under. Just like the shoe shop, O'Brien's Shoe Shop. Now he's an old timer that was down there. Kids would come in, get the shoes fixed, you know, and that night they would break in the back end and steal the shoes. Come in the next morning, where's my shoes? You'll have to pay me for it.
Oh, and he knew it was happening. Of course, there's nothing you can do about something
He had to leave. Now, he's over at the, what's that shopping center on Preston Street?
Indian Trail.
Indian Trail. He's over there somewhere in O'Brien's.
O'Brien's?
Yeah.
Well, I have to look him up. Yeah, I wanted to look up some of the older shop owners and everything. Yeah, I really didn't understand. I never understood the
But there's so many
economics,
little things
yeah.
like that. Why are they...
Yeah.
But this happened so many times that they would break in his back window and he would board it, he would bar it, he would wire it. It's still getting.
Well, now, one place I stopped the other day is the, there on 28th Street, the little hardware shop, and she's got some dry goods things in there and everything, too. It's right across from the A&P.
Yeah, yeah. Grill and stove oil.
Right. How are shops like that staying in now? Do they just have tremendous security themselves?
Well, they have insurance, but their premium is high. And, of course, they get it's a little cheaper with the bars up.
And they're just surviving from day to day.
Right. Then. They have alarm systems on them. Most of them have alarm systems.
What's that? What hours do you work?
I work 7 to 3.
7 to 3. Then when you go off at 3, then is that up to the city patrolmen from
right.
then on that are in the cars? To watch
right.
the area, all the rest till you come back on at 7 in the morning.
Right.
Do they have any, imagine in the beat cop, they have to give you, with the beat cop, they have to give you a little bit smaller area to patrol since you're on foot. What about those policemen that are in cars? Do they have such a vast area to patrol?
They have a pretty big beat that extends, I don't know how many miles anymore, but it's, I'd say they have a good couple miles square.
That they have to cover, so that might account for some of the reason why they aren't in a particular area when a break-in's going.
Yeah, but if you got that of a night though, if you're got a beat, you don't miss. I've rode the beat 14 years, and I know how I would do. Maybe I wouldn't catch all the break-ins, but the night before I went in, or the morning before I went into the district, I found every break-in that we had. The oncoming beat man that patrolled didn't have to find it. But when I got finished with my beat, he wasn't going to find a break-in.
What do you think some of the reasons?
Well, they...
not a special interest in the community, for one thing?
It's possible. They don't have the time, don't take the time, or could be don't even know how. Mm-hmm. They don't even think the principals that patrol in an area, what to look for, mm-hmm. how to look for. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that much about the police department here, but it seems like they've left you, you know, in your area for a good number of years. Do they tend to do that with other police officers? Because it would seem like that's the way you build up an interest in your community, mm. is by being there a number of years, getting to know the people, that even if you aren't an exceptionally friendly person, it would seem that after a number of years, you would begin to recognize a few right. people anyway. Do they move them around a lot?
Yeah, they move them a lot, Don.
And I imagine with every advancement or every promotion, people are moved around even more so.
Right.
You think that might be some of the reason why some of these areas aren't getting a whole lot of interest? Because a police officer doesn't stay with them for very long
that's
of the time?
That's very possible, too. And then, of course, you have a lot of them that go into the area that they don't want to be, mm-hmm. and they're bitter, mm-hmm. you know. And if you have bitterness, you don't have interest.
Mm-hmm. Is that, now if I ask you a question that you don't want to answer, but, you know, I don't want to get you in trouble with the police department, but I often wondered, too, if with some of the white patrolmen in particular, or some of the white policemen, if they sometimes aren't given a black area to patrol as punishment. Isn't seen as not a promotion, but a...
Well, that's gossip. That's rumor within the department that... if he's put in a given area that's not feasible to a man, or mm-hmm. that is punishment.
Mm-hmm. You think there's any fact to that?
Huh?
You think there's any fact to that?
It used to be in the past. I don't mm-hmm. know about now, because mm-hmm. I don't write. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just imagine the philosophy behind it is still there.
Mm, that's a shame. Right there can give you a real narrow attitude. What kind of responses have you gotten from fellow police officers for the area that you work? Or are you ever around fellow police officers that much?
Well, the old time, when I first went down there, the old timers, they would stop by. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a day go by, they didn't bring coffee or something, you mm-hmm. know, from the White Castle or what. We'd talk a while, and they'd check, want to know if I needed anything, batteries mm-hmm. or pencils or reports or what, you know. Of course, as time went on, the older fellas left, and of course, the new fellas, I hardly know,
mm-hmm.
and I think most of them, they don't look at my uniform and see it's the same one they got on.
They see
think
different.
I'm a door shaker or a merchant policeman.
Yeah, I wondered if there wasn't.
I mean, I'll wave and they go on.
Hmm.
Before there's some that still stop, you know, and talk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to say because I don't like to mm-hmm. get involved. But in my mind, I know what it's all about. When I used to go down and pick my batteries up at the main headquarters, I used to hear, "Here comes the nigger lover."
Oh, wow.
So, see, I was fighting two things within the department. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're brothers.
Mm-hmm. That's too
bad.
And
it's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if they needed help or any time they come in the area and I can help, and I tell them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So because you were down there and you liked your job and you didn't mind being in the area, obviously you're interested in being in the area, then some of the other officers weren't very supportive of it. That's really too bad. How have you felt you've been accepted by the community?
Oh,
that you work in?
I never thought about it a whole lot. I mean, my objective was to do whatever pleased them, you know, within mm-hmm. the law. That was my objective.
Did you have any problem being accepted in the beginning, or?
Yeah, I had a hard fight. Sure did.
Mm-hmm. What was it, because you were a police officer, or was it because you were white?
Well, there was twofold. Being a police, a lot of times they used to have to figure what is it? Is it me being a policeman, or is it me being white, or mm-hmm. both? Now, some cases it was both.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rare now, mm-hmm. real rare for any of that to come up now.
Mm-hmm. What do people say to you now? Does anybody ever express surprise now, people that work in the area or whatever? Or are you just part of the area now? No one ever is surprised that you're there?
Oh, a lot of them take me for granted now. Mm-hmm. I'm a fixture.
A fixture? Did you ever think you'd be a fixture?
No, I never wanted to be a fixture. I always wanted to be something new every day, you know, and that's just, it's something that's supposed to be there and belong there.
Do you ever have any of the younger people ever say that they're surprised you're still there, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have people, you're still here? Man, I thought you'd be gone by now. Mm-hmm. And I, how do you mean I'd be gone? Retired? Oh, no, no, I figured they'd carry you out. So, there's thoughts. I mean, there's...
I think it says something about people's experiences all over the city, that you just don't have that same... You don't have the rapport and the friendship and the same policeman with you for years. I mean, it really is an unusual situation. You used to have that years ago, and then it really was a neighborhood cop. I think that really is something. So that you don't have too many experiences now where people find you unwelcome in the area.
Oh, no, no. If I do, it's a stranger. I mean, I notice... I can either smell them or see them a mile away.
Yeah, from there. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And I doubt myself. I know when you can tell a troublemaker. He's got that way. I mean, and then when he gets to you, there's the words, and you say to yourself, "Well, now what's he gonna be?"
Mm-hmm. Do you know most everybody by name?
Not everybody. No.
But you recognize people facially? Because I know I was talking to some people who live down off Northwestern Parkway near the river and drive through every day to the university and drive through to downtown, and they even knew you there. So you're evidently quite well known.
it's wonderful the way it's turned out. Mm-hmm. You know, I never imagined, you know, how many people I would get to know as time went on. It's
Do you ever have any interest in moving on to anything else? Did you ever want to go back to being in the car?
No.
No? You want to stay there?
I'd have to retire if they put me back in the car.
Oh, really? What is there that's so special and unique about walking a beat? Getting to know the people?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the kids, every day you come down, it's something different. And you wonder, well, what's the big surprise today, you know? Mm-hmm. Every day is going to be something different.
And it wasn't that when you were in that car?
No, it was just... Oh, it was different experiences, but I mean, you didn't look too forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a closeness.
Mm-hmm. How many years do you have to go until retirement?
Oh, I can retire anytime.
Oh, really? And have they told you that you can just stay there unlimited amount of time?
No, they don't tell you nothing.
Oh.
No.
You think you're going to stay on a few more years, though?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an unusual situation, there's no doubt about it. What kinds of things do you see happening in the Parkland area other than when we were talking about the shops and the kinds of things that have happened to drive people out? Do you see the neighborhoods as deteriorating as some of the residents do? You know, they feel like the neighborhood's going down.
It's going down, but then ever so often there's a new venture coming in. I like the supermarket. Mm-hmm. Now the Gateway, it's opened up again. Now it gives you a new insight to them. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe it's going to spread. There'll be something else coming in. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to down over at the where Vine Records is. Now a new man bought the place, new owner,
mm-hmm.
and he's fixing up now. And they already moved the chess shop in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting hopeful with signs like that.
Yeah.
What do you think it is that's happened in terms of the houses, the actual homeowners and everything? Were the houses just built for another age and another time? You know, they're so gigantic. I wonder how people can pay their gas and electric bills. Is that happening?
Most of them homes, they outlived their day and time. It's a new thing now. Mm-hmm. Things are smaller. They should be smaller.
Mm-hmm.
From your standpoint of heating, lighting, and
mm-hmm.
big places, you just can't heat them anymore. Mm-hmm. And most of them people down there now are on fixed incomes, and they can't afford
mm-hmm. let alone any outside kinds of repairs or roofs or anything else like that.
But the Urban League down there, they've been talking about through the city government, county government, building a high-rise apartment down there mm-hmm. for the elderly and the retired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they ever done that, then that would be one of the biggest shopping centers in the West End again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they keep talking about it.
And that would be so wonderful for some of those people down there.
But here's another thing now that would revitalize the shopping center, and they've been trying to get Mayor Sloan, and of course, it's Russ Maple now. He's coming on big with the idea. Where he got it, I don't know. Of course, he come down there one time, and I was talking. I don't remember everything I said to him, but this may be one of his things. But this is in his campaign now. Tear it all down and rebuild and sell it to the merchants. And that's what we've been preaching for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And they want to buy it. Most of the black folks down there want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But they want you to fix it where the security would be good on it.
Yeah, right.
But the building they got down there now, they're so dilapidated, run down.
Mm-hmm.
Now that one string of stores there, you got to go down the basement to one store for the put fuses in for the store way down the way here.
Mm. So this they're outdated here, and everything.
This guy here ain't there half the time, so they got the way he comes in to get lights.
Mm. So one of the ideas of some of the people in the area then was just to totally clear, take them all down and ground.